Good evening and welcome to the March 21st, 2018 meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. John Irwin and Christian Erlandson both indicated they would be absent this evening, but we do have the rest of the members present, so we do have a quorum. It's raining outside, so it looks like our March miracle has occurred, and our watershed is probably very happy, and our public works staff is probably doing double duty to deal with all of the issues that come up with extensive rain. Are there any announcements by board members this evening? Okay, no presentations. The first item on the agenda is the election of the chair and the vice chair for the Public Works Board for this next year. Are there any volunteers or nominations? Members of the board?
I nominate Rick to be chairman again.
I'll second that.
Any other nominations? Okay.
Ain't happened.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion carries.
I didn't hear your voice.
I said aye.
Say nay, so I guess it's okay.
Also, we will be selecting a vice chair currently. It's Stephen. Do we have any other nomination? Or do we have a nomination? Or volunteers?
I'd go ahead and volunteer. Sure.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that Stephen Shively will be the vice chair. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Public comment period for those people that would like to address the board on items not on the agenda. Please step forward and give us your name and residence, and please print your name on a piece of paper
goodness.
For so
you know
staff
who
can
I
clarify
am.
You. Thank you.
I'm Nancy Castle. I'm a native of Morro Bay, and I live on Preston Lane. And I just want to reiterate what's going to happen after these rains. Preston Lane is a giant pothole. And I'm very appreciative. I did report it again, and the guys did come around with a little bit of asphalt that they dumped in. And I'm really grateful. If there's leftover asphalt on any job around town, bring it on down there, shove it in there, I'll back up over it to make it squish in. And I know it needs to be entirely rebuilt. It's a very short little street. However, Associated Divers, or whatever they're called now, is on that street. Their big trucks go over it. Our bands go over it. Pacific Heating is right there. It gets a lot of use. Oh, and Morro Bay RV with all of those RV drivers that don't really know how to make bumpers right and scrape into the pavement. So please put it up high on the list, however the list is working. I know that things that need to be really rebuilt are waiting for a miracle. So let's have some miracles. And but I very much appreciate even patching jobs that are going on. So I wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. As part of public comment, we received an email last month from Nancy Bass regarding the chairs in the Vets Hall. I don't believe that's under the Public Works Advisory Board purview, but I would like to ask Rob what department should be handling that email that was received.
Actually, it is Public Works. So facilities maintenance is under Public Works, and it's a budget item. So we will bring a item to council to see if they will approve replacement of the chairs.
Thank you.
Does it have to be added to the budget, or you just have to bring it to city council?
It will. There's not a budgeted item this year.
So you have to wait till the next cycle.
Yeah, and we're starting budget season,
yeah.
So we'll be prepping our facilities maintenance and capital improvement budgets for this next year coming up. So,
oh, okay. So it may be a year or two out before.
I think a lot of people got that email.
Oh,
yes. So, yeah. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have nice long meetings with really comfortable chairs? Or something to that. Okay, next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of February 21st, 2018. Are there any corrections or additions that need to be made to our minutes? Seeing none?
I was going to recommend approval. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead, Steve.
I'll recommend approval of the minutes as stated.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Our one business item is the director's report. Take it away, Rob.
Sure, and if you don't mind, maybe I could go through the questions that Mr. Irwin had that he emailed to me. I'll kind of restate the question, and then either I'll answer it or one of the other staff here will answer that question.
That sounds great.
Okay, thank you. So John Irwin, when he knew he wasn't going to be here, emailed a few questions on the director's report. First one was from page 9, the last bullet item. We did some closed-circuit TV inspection of a sewer line, and he was wondering what triggered that. That was smoke pouring it when we did our smoke testing to determine cross-connections and bad connections at the sewer line. There was a lot of smoke coming out of the ground on Beachcomber. It's a fairly shallow sewer line, so we wanted to get a better indication of where the cracks were on that, so we sent our video cam. I haven't had a chance to talk to the collection supervisor to see what if he's analyzed that and see if we can repair it or if it needs to be replaced yet. Next item, page 14, capital projects. The question is, Measure Q budget will be discussed Tuesday at CFAC. Is there a minimum amount which pavement management program needs in order to maintain progress? That's an interesting last word there, progress. I don't know if you remember some of our streets reports, but to actually maintain progress, we probably need an additional $1.7 million in funding. The $500,000 a year that we typically get for streets from the Measure Q allocation is really to keep the... keep things as good as possible for as long as possible until there's additional funding source for street improvements. Another one on P14, capital projects. If Panorama weathers a storm well, are there any other streets that are candidates for that type of repair? And that type of repair, what he means is, I think we referred to it as full depth reclamation. It's not what I call full depth reclamation. This was pulverized the existing pavement surface, compacted in place, and do a triple layer seal on top of that. There are three streets that we consider doing that this year. One of them is a street that I heard somebody mention, Preston Lane. The other two are, there's a short dead end portion of Coral, and then the most northerly dead end portion of Beachcomber that are pretty well beat up streets that this technique might have some value at. So tomorrow will be maybe after trash pickup on Panorama, that would be a good sign. Get it wet and then drive a big heavy truck over it and see how it holds up. See how well that technique is really working. Question number 4, page 14, capital projects. He's seen some large areas of base failures on the north side cape seals. Will maintenance staff survey and report areas requiring repairs? And also there are areas that would benefit from installing a gutter to improve drainage. I'm going to let Mike handle the first one regarding maintenance staff on the maintenance. I'll say, of course, we are going to be doing that, but it's a team effort that we do that. Engineering staff does it. The maintenance staff does it. So, Mike.
And citizens help us out with that, too, as far as surveying and let us know where the bad spots are. We don't have a dedicated person to drive around and look for those items. But the North Morro Bay streets, as well as many other streets in Morro Bay, didn't start out as streets. They were roads, and I imagine the county probably put red rock on those roads at one point. Red rock is not a really good base material. And then I would imagine shortly after we incorporated as a city, the city probably chip sealed or oiled those roads and progressed to the point where they are now, where they've had several different overlays applied. So in order to make those real streets, other than roads with street signs on them, it would take a full depth reclamation. Things keep popping loose on this table. What else would I put a question, Rob?
The curb drainage, and I'll take a shot at that one. So as most folks know, not a lot of streets have curb and gutter on them. Our city code doesn't require that level of frontage improvements on most residential streets. Streets would drain better with concrete curb and gutter. You can drain a flatter street with concrete gutter than you can with an asphalt dike and an asphalt road going next to it. Unfortunately, we didn't develop that way. And to retrofit all the streets with curb and gutter would be very expensive to do. There are no plans to install large portions of curb and gutter. Curb and gutter sidewalk does get installed on our arterial and collector streets, and then also designated pedestrian ways, which is we have one so far in town. Greenwood Avenue is a designated pedestrian street, so eventually that will have curb gutter and sidewalk on both sides.
You also do it where it's multifamily, correct, as opposed to single family?
Commercial zones and the R3 and R4 multifamily zones require curb gutter and sidewalk.
Yeah.
There's one on Greenwood down the street from me. It looks like they put in new curbs and gutters and so on. If somebody puts a new house in, or do they have to put in new curbs and gutters?
They either have to put in the curb and gutter, or they have to. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to put in if there's no curb and gutter and sidewalk for, few hundred feet in each direction, will allow them to defer that improvement. So we record a document against the property that says you will put that in when we tell you to put that in. When it, when we get enough of those in a row, then we'll notify that area that they will install a curb, gutter, and sidewalk.
So they don't pay an in-lieu fee.
They don't pay an in-lieu fee to do it. We just record a covenant against the property that puts them on notice that at some future time with 30 days notice, they'll be required to install. A lot of times that will happen upon sale of the home because the new buyer doesn't want that covenant hanging over their head. Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of times that covenant gets enforced. Question five, the last one from Mr. Irwin. How is the One Water plan coming? And are there any infiltration repairs identified? And I think he's talking about the smoke testing. And how's the cross connections coming? That's with the smoke testing. So we... I'm going to let Ms. Hansen give an update on the One Water Plan, but I'll just let you know that all the smoke testing data was delivered to Corolla, who's doing the Sanitary Sewer Master Plan to incorporate in their capital projects planning so that we can all get that together. And we'll have an update to PWAB at your May meeting, followed by an update to council. But I'll let Damaris do the lion's share of the status report on One Water.
The One Water plan is still moving forward. They've been working on progress on the water supply evaluations and the sewer and water modeling to come up with the different capital projects that will be coming through with that master plan. They've shown us some of them, and we've kind of tweaked some of those, so we will be bringing that back to you guys in May, it looks like, and council in May. There's still some work on the storm drain master plan that's moving forward with that as well. A little more work's got to be done on that portion there. But we can also add a little update on the structures report, too, to give you guys a little more updates more often, too.
Yeah, I think it got removed from the director's report when we did the specific item on One Water, and then it never made its way back into the director's report. So we'll add, Damaris noticed that, and we'll add that back into the director's report. Other items that are worth highlighting, I'll turn it over to Janine to talk a little bit about the survey that we have out there for transit in our short-range transit plan.
Thank you. Currently, we have our short-range transit plan that we're in the process of updating, and right now we have an online community survey that is out for individuals. We want to hear from everybody, and even if you don't use, and particularly if you don't use transit services, we'd like to hear from you as well. The survey, it's a SurveyMonkey survey that the consultant had put together. And to link to it, you can go to the city's website, and if you go to the news flash items or news items, there is a item on the community survey and links to the both English version and a version that's in Spanish as well. We're taking information for these surveys through March 28th, so through next, I think it's next Wednesday or Thursday. And if you don't have access to the internet, you can always forward that information to me, care of the city, 595 Harbor Street, or you could drop it off with one of the drivers, and they will forward that on to me, and then I can get that information to the consultant. So you can provide some handwritten comments about the service if you use it. Are there any improvements that you need made to it? Are there enough stops? Does it stop where you need to go? Timing, day of the week, time during the day, all that sort of information is helpful in developing potential improvements that we can make to the services that would get you to then start using the service or use it more frequently. So online survey, go to the city's website, the news flash item, click on there, and then you'll get a link to the survey. Or you can send that information, you can write that information to me, care of the city at 595 Harbor Street, or you can email me at jburlingame@morrobayca.gov.
Are there paper surveys that are distributed on the buses?
We don't have paper surveys. We did, for the riders, we did do onboard surveys where we had paper surveys for those individuals who ride the service. We have posted flyers and information at various locations of public gatherings where the kind of activity centers that we might get as many people who don't use the service to be able to see the information and then be able to go to the survey and partake of it.
Okay.
Janine, I couldn't get the Spanish, if that's what the second one is, to work.
Oh, the link from here?
Hmm. Yeah, the one that ends in 10 try. And you might take a look at that and see.
Okay.
And what do you think about somebody walking and, you know, picking out some areas and surveying people that that live here? Are you getting, what's your percentage of response on this?
Well, all of the surveys are being tallied through SurveyMonkey, and the consultant has that information. I don't have that information as of this point. So once the survey deadline ends, we'll get with the consultant and see, did they get enough survey responses that they feel is adequate to move forward, or we may open it up again if we don't have enough surveys and extend the period of time to try to get some more responses. And I just checked the Spanish version and the link in the staff report, and it opens up to the the survey in Spanish. So I might want to try that again at home.
Yeah,
see
I did
if you,
something wrong.
Yeah, okay, you might have.
Or the link was broken
at that point.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Are there any additional questions of staff?
We'll start
with Stephen. It looks like he's ready to talk there.
No, this will be quick and easy, I think. On the first page on the consolidated maintenance, it talks about the installation of new poles and stop signs at different intersections. Are these new or replacement stop signs? Are you actually adding new stop signs to locations, Rob? Or is it just replacement of old stop signs that are beat up?
We're not adding additional signs. We're
so it's just replacement of existing signs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's real easy. That's usually you need warrants for the other announcements.
Yes, and it's very difficult to, with the volumes that we have here, to justify installation of stop signs.
Okay. And actually the only I did have one item, and it's just for my own curiosity, and that was where you were showing putting on a new bar grate on a catch basin, it looks like. I'm trying to find the page again, but page 5, yeah. It talks about only being 1 foot deep. What kind of pipe is leaving this catch basin? Is it that small a diameter?
I believe it's about an 18-inch pipe coming down from juniper to ironwood.
So it comes in through the bottom of the catch basin. If it's only a foot high, I was just wondering how it comes into the box.
It's a bubbler outlet, so goes out under the street.
Okay.
There's no storm drain.
So this
system.
Is the outlet,
that's
actually,
the outlet.
And it
yeah.
bubbles out
yeah.
of this location. Okay, it's just my curiosity. The third thing, and this was just more, lately we haven't had a lot of the RIFCAC meetings, and as a result, under the wastewater new WRF, I just wanted to expound a little bit on what you wrote on it and the fact you talk about the RFP going out for the program management services. Basically, I just wanted to bring up the fact that basically we're looking at two candidates for this position right now, and they're looking to interview this week. The rest of what Rob has there is accurate. It was just you're not hearing that information at the other meetings, so I thought this would be the best place to bring it up for that purpose. And so it is moving forward in that vein to try and find somebody into the program management position. That's what we have to work with, and that's two candidates. And that's it for me.
Okay, Jan?
On the wastewater, the new wharf, when they went to Washington, D.C., said they met with various members and agencies to support the city's project and will assist as appropriate. What does that mean? Are we going to get the money? Are we going to get assistance? Is it going to be free, which would be a real dream?
Well, we didn't come back with a plane load of money.
Ain't going to be free.
we wanted to make sure we met with a congressional delegation because there may be some point where, especially for the Title 16 Bureau of Reclamation, that requires congressional authorization to be included on the Bureau of Reclamation's funding list. So you have to be listed in the Federal Register to be a project there. So I wanted to make sure that the congressional delegation knew about our project and we keep them informed. We met with US EPA on the WIFIA loan and talked to them about, funding the application deadlines, what they, want to see in that application. They're very supportive of the project, so they're looking forward to receiving the application. Corps of Engineers loves that project. They just don't really have any money for that type of a project. They have a few million in environmental type grants and with basically a million per project. So they encourage us to make application at the LA District for that. Met with the staffers for our two senators. And as a matter of coincidence, while we were debriefing after we left Senator Feinstein's office, she came walking around the corner And we were starstruck and got to shake her hand. And she knew Morro Bay and knew about our wastewater project and was happy to hear that we are going with full water reclamation. She gave us two thumbs up for that. She says, "You're finally about time you got rid of that advanced primary plant." I didn't realize she was a wastewater engineer also. I think it was a very successful trip. That'll be more will be reported by our city manager out at the next council meeting.
Okay. So it's more than just lip service. You feel like there's,
I think there's truly interest in the project, and there may be difficulty funding projects in California. The agencies are trying their best to work with us.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Stu.
Okay. The consolidated maintenance recent projects. That screen grate that we put in on Ironwood that's right above me, I noticed the streets flooded up there. It pours out of that grate and so on, and then goes around the corner and it's digging into the street. Is there any plan to take the water that comes in that grate and move it someplace else through a pipe or something? Or does it just overflow there?
We'll see what our storm drain master plan reveals when we get that from Carollo. But our streets make up the vast majority of our storm drain system. As a former county engineer used to tell me, streets are just storm drains that are convenient to drive in sometimes. That was George Protopapas, by the way, county engineer for many years, San Luis County, and prior to that, LA County Flood Control. I'm a great engineer. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But the streets make up the majority of our storm drain system, and we do rely on that surface drainage to carry that water down to the natural water courses. It's very expensive to put in storm drain pipe, and that is a general, it's not a utility, it's a general fund item, so it competes with other general fund items.
Yeah, I noticed Greenwood right down the street from me is, when I drove by it this evening, is a some people aren't going to be able to get in their car doors because there's water above their car doors. And I'd imagine that will take care of itself. On page 7, we've got reread meters. How long do the water meters last typically? Are they 10 years or
probably right around 10 years? We have replaced most of our old mechanically driven, gear driven meters with mag meters, so that don't have as many mechanical moving parts in them. So what happens is with a meter, as it wears out, water goes through without turning the meter. So we see a loss in revenue. People are getting water and not having to pay for as much water as goes through the meters. So we like to keep our meters fairly updated to make sure that we're not losing water.
Is there a date somewhere on the meter that I could take a look and see when it was last replaced?
Probably not. We would get the serial number, and it would we would look in our database to see when that was replaced. It'll be much easier once we have our new asset management program implemented, which is we've been working on it for implementation for a couple of years, and we should have that implemented this year.
Now, it appears you did 70 water samples. Is that last month, or is that for a year, or what is that? That's on page 7. And that sounds like a lot of water samples. What's required to?
I believe that's a...
That's just for the month, and it was just a... Every once in a while you have quarterly samples and stuff, but that's pretty typical sometimes.
So you're looking 50. For some bad water or some other content in the water and so on to do that?
No, it's just sampling of the water, and it's just part of the requirements that you have all the different constituents that you have to sample for.
on the, let's see, this is page 8. It says, with little snowpack so far this year, we can expect our state water allocation percentage to decrease. In that same vein, how are we doing with our desalination plant, Rob?
So the desal plant has two components to it. It has the brackish water side, which treats the water from the Moro Valley, and then the salt water side, which can treat ocean water, which has some intake wells. We did a major evaluation of that salt water system earlier this year, and it's was built as an emergency project in the 90s. And it suffered some the effects of time and salt water on much of the electrical components of it. So we'll need to do some work on the electrical. Also, the desalinization pressure vessels are in excess of 20 years and probably will not be able to be rated much longer. So we'll likely need to replace those pressure vessels because older, they're very high pressure water in there. They can explode if they're plastic. And so we have sufficient brackish water capacity for water supply. We're not anticipating the need of our saltwater desal facilities, but we'll be working on that over the next year. If we need to run it, we can, but we would only run it in an emergency.
I got to ask, on the saltwater side, are the membranes intact?
Membranes are intact. We make sure that they're in their preservative and are in good condition.
Is there an intention to move that desalination plant to the new facility when we build it?
We have when we got our operating permit from the Coastal Commission, if we do major renovations to it and expect to run it long-term continuously, we'll need to move it from its existing location. They didn't tell us where, but there's no plans to, with the current WRF project, to move it to that site.
I assume you want to keep them near the Moro wells, though, correct? I mean, locationally.
From an operational standpoint, not having to pump water over and over again, yes,
right.
That makes sense. Too.
Well, I'm hoping if they're going to move, they're going to move somewhere a lot
and
closer
with,
than the new
with a modern desal facility, it would be much smaller than that
right.
existing one that we have there. We don't need a Butler building quite that big.
Right. Okay.
Looks like you did the staff did some inspections of commercial facilities, which is on page 9. Source control inspections and industrial. What's that?
Damaris, you want to?
I can. That's part of the FOG program that they do. So they go out and inspect restaurants and different...
and just FOG is fats, oils, and greases.
Yeah. So it's part of their program that they go out and inspect them, make sure they're emptying their grease traps, and make sure they're following their different best management practices.
And the reason we do that is grease and oils do not mix well with wastewater. They tend to coagulate and form giant fat balls and really cause problems in the system.
So you would
kind of an analogy to our own human system, you know.
So that's
not
restaurants
a lot of,
and the like. And
yes.
You attempt to identify who's doing what, and do we inspect the...
On a regular basis, we have a rotation program with the restaurants. So we have an emergency generator at the wastewater treatment plant, and every month we need to start that up and make sure that it's operational. very rarely do we test it under the full load that it would need to keep the plant running at. So usually it's started up, run it for an hour or so, make sure, you know, it starts and runs. This time we put it under load. We ran the pumps that would need to be maintained running and some of the blowers that would need to be maintained and made sure that it didn't trip any breakers. The switchgear is basically a fancy big circuit breaker. So that we should and do test.
Okay. It looks like we do some maintenance on our own vehicles, on our own large equipment, and as noted just a couple of lines below that, inspect and perform annual maintenance on headworks and the front end loader and so on. Do we do our own maintenance on that? Are we set up to do that?
Yes, we have a city mechanic that services most of the non-specialized equipment. So fire, there's certain requirements on the fire pumps that you need a certified fire mechanic, but Pat does help out with that work. But for in general, sedans, pickup trucks, backhoe loaders, standard public works equipment, yes, we do our own service on those. We don't have a tire shop, so we don't change tires.
Okay, so that saves us a few shekel.
Yes.
Good. Page 12, the top paragraph, staff has completed the best management practice. There's a whole bunch of technical stuff in there. Could you explain that first paragraph for me on page 12?
So I can explain it. So it's part of our requirements for the Water Board to have a pollutant loading model. So we've partnered with a consulting company called Second Nature that's developed this for us. So this is me going through the process of doing that. So first we had to define each smaller catchment area for the drainages to be in, and then you assess those drainage areas. So first we are right now what's talking about there is going out and mapping all the different best management practices that are out in the field. And they can be as simple as some of these are, which are pervious pavement or a sediment trap. And the sediment trap is as simple as a storm drain catch basin that has some depth at the bottom where sediment can accumulate and that we remove every year so it doesn't go down the pipe further. So we go out and map all of those, and then there's thresholds and benchmarks that those have to meet in order to, unless you have to maintain them, in order to help kind of reduce these catchment areas for, because the way they're colored is the darker color, there's more potential pollutants coming from there. So these BMPs, as they're addressed more often, then those colors hopefully get lighter, or you kind of address those areas because there is more pollutant in those areas. Does that help?
Good. Thank you. That's all I have now.
Oh. Okay, Chris?
Rob, on the stream gauge, it looks like we got some
Looks like we got some testing done. How do those rates compare, or and how do we test those? Was that with a different sort of gauge system already in place?
There's a existing stream gauge at Kinney Road that the county maintains that we use. It's accurate at higher flows, but not at the lower flows that we're concerned about. And then the Choro Creek Road Crossing, we constructed a temporary stream gauge there with wood and plastic, basically, but there's not a good control section. Ideally, when you're measuring the flow of water using a gauge, you want a regular, some geometric shape channel, so trapezoid or a rectangular cross section to it. It just gives you better measurement of the flow because it's regular. Right now, it's a natural bottom there, so we don't have a good, accurate measurement there. But we're still required to maintain those measurements, even though we're not using those wells there. So we have a hydrogeologist that goes out and measures the velocity there and the depth of water to come up with those flow rates.
Okay. And then aside from that, basically to deal on storm drainage, southbound North Main Street during a rainstorm, it's up against Highway 1 and it gets filled with water. And obviously it drains under Highway 1. I'm just curious, is that somewhat an intermix of Caltrans right-of-way and Morro Bay Street? Or because you kind of get intermittent, it's hard to just drive in the lane, actually, during a rainstorm there.
So we should probably, once the pipe goes under, on the other side of the fence, it's Caltrans's work. We need to probably make sure the grates on those catch basins are clear.
And I assume they probably are. I think it's just the road has got some deep.
So there's just
there.
Some local low spots in the road that don't.
So. It's not necessarily where the catch basins are. It's, I think we just have low spots that have kind of always been.
So that's on us.
Okay, thank you. Most of my comments or questions have already been answered. I would like to ask on the, thank you for including the nesting season line in there that talks about the public streets. Are the private trees, are those subject to the nesting season restrictions as far as taking a tree down?
They are. They're nesting season on public trees. You cannot remove a tree, but you can trim a tree. And the right-of-way, you can't trim or remove unless it's an emergency. So it's a little bit different. They have major vegetation guidelines that regulates them.
So the various tree services around, if someone calls in and says, take out this tree because I don't want it anymore, do they go through the city to make sure that it's okay to be done? Or
yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah, they contact us, and the planning department actually works on the private trees and regulates them, make sure, because you can remove 2 trees a year on the private trees on your property, but just not during nesting season. And most of the tree trimmers and removers around here know the nesting season.
Okay. Thank you. That's the only comment. Are there any other questions or comments that's come up?
Okay. I just had one quick one I forgot to mention, and it's on the very back page where the actual the project calendar is for the roof WRF plant, and it talks in April of going to the 2018 hearing date. Are you guys still on track to meet that in April?
Likely not. Oh. The bids are due in April 24th. Oh. I think we might have been overly optimistic that we'd be able to.
So maybe May or early.
I would say first part of summer, more likely than not, because we'll want to make sure that the rate study is evaluated by a lot of folks.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Thank you.
On that 218 vote, I know that I've noticed that there's a group that's opposing it, even though there are no real numbers out there yet. It hasn't been generated, and it's quite interesting that it's already being opposed regardless of what the numbers are. So we'll have to deal with that when that issue comes up before us in a couple months. Let's see.
Could I add something? So the 218 vote, when we get the numbers of the possible cost, the likely cost of this sewer plant, do we figure out the monthly rate increase before the 218 vote?
Yes. So that has to appear in the notice of the rate increase. So that gets. So what will happen, it'll go through its review by the advisory bodies. It'll go to council. Council will have to direct us to send out a notice to all the ratepayers. So we send out notice to, actually we do more than what the law requires. We send it out to ratepayers plus property owners. So we send a couple thousand to out-of-area property owners also. Then there's a 45-day review period where people can protest it during that 45-day period, and the Prop 218 notice will specify how you turn in your protest. It'll have to be in writing. It has to identify the property, and it has to be, are you in favor or not in favor of a or rate increase? I guess if you're in favor, you wouldn't do anything, because not turning in a protest vote is a yes vote. And if there's two components on the Prop 218, water and sewer, you can oppose one or the other or both. Those get delivered to the city clerk by the close of the public comment period of the public hearing that is a minimum of 45 days after the notices go out. So 45 days never seems to line up with council meeting date, so it's usually a few days. We usually have a few days beyond that 45-day time period. And people can decide at the last minute if they want to turn it into the clerk before that public period ends, or they can turn in their protest early.
So,
but not before the announcement and the notice of the rate increase. So, okay. For example, that we're getting protest votes right now in the clerk's office. They're not a valid protest, and we're sending people a letter back letting them know that that's not a valid protest.
And so, just to clarify, the city will be sending out the letters, right? Because some people have been asking me that, or telling me that we have to write. When it's announced that the 218 vote is accepted, we have to write our own letters. We have to take it upon ourselves to create the letters. But you're saying that the city will send it out.
The city will send out a notice of the rate increase. The statute doesn't require that the city supply a ballot.
You do have to create your own letter, but when that after that announcement of the rate increase?
Yes.
Okay.
It really has no effect if you send in a protest vote now. You'll just get a letter back from us that said, thank you for your correspondence, but send in your if you still want to protest during that protest period.
Okay.
And,
Rob,
go ahead. And the letter that's sent out explains exactly how to return a protest vote.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Rob, when Bartle Wells is done with the rate study, is it coming back before PWAB, or does it go to RoofCAC?
I don't believe
usually it comes here, but on the sewer side, I'm not quite sure we've ever done.
Yes, we did the rate increase because we're mainly focused on a water rate increase time.
So you feel it'll probably go to RoofCAC?
It'll probably go to both.
It'll go to both.
But
okay.
We'll let you know as far ahead of time as we can.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
And one other comment that's been made to me. Before I moved into the area, I guess there was a rate increase for the sewer. And it was my understanding that this was going to be set aside for this project, and somebody was saying that's not wrong. There has no money set aside for this project, and our rates went up last year. And I did not know that.
So in 2014, we did a sewer and water rate increase. The sewer rate increase was based on a secondary treatment plant out at Rancho Colina. Thank you. And with a note in the Prop 218 notice that if the project changes, we will have to do another rate analysis. The sewer accumulation fund, so the sewer fund is a bank account, let's use that analogy, and we have expenses out of that bank account. There's a balance in that bank account, which is called the sewer accumulation fund. We're accumulating funds in that. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what that number is right now, but it's in the several million dollars. Even if it was a $75 million project, the instant that you do the rate increase does not put $75 million in that account. What that how we were going to pay for that $75 million was we were going to take out a loan, and the rates were going to pay that back over time. So we haven't had to pay any loan money back, so we're accumulating funds in our bank account that we'll be using for not only the WRF project, but for other capital projects that are in the sewer fund.
So there is an accumulation fund.
There is an accumulation fund that's and reported out as part of the budget.
Thank you.
Okay. Stu, did you? Okay. Chris? Okay. Thank you very much for the report. On the potential future agenda items, do you have anything that you know will probably be on the next calendar?
We know in May we'll be bringing back the One Water planning effort. I don't think the timing will work to bring the water rate study back in April, because this meeting will occur before the bids come back in. So we'll have to maybe perhaps schedule a special meeting for that, but we'll work with the chair in scheduling that meeting. I was thinking that perhaps an item to bring back, since there seemed to be some interest in the stormwater, would be maybe a little bit more detail, or maybe we'll include that in the director report, a little bit more detail on our stormwater program and water quality efforts.
All right, thank you. And before we adjourn, I just want to mention to the public, you know, whenever we have storms like this, people generally think about, oh, the electricity, and, oh, thank you, PG&E, for getting the power back on. And they don't really realize how much work is done by your local public works department. You know, all the people that are out there on the streets and the wastewater plant and all of these places that are behind the scenes that don't really get the big pats on the back from the television stations on, okay, PG&E is out there putting up the power line. So just to let people know that the public works department really gets overloaded and overworked during these storms, and they're out there making sure that you're still able to flush your toilet.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of guys out in yellow coats and white trucks working during these times, making sure that the storm drain grates are clear, that the wastewater treatment plant is operating, and because it is an old facility, it doesn't have as much electronic controls as maybe a modern one would, so when the highest level of storm is occurring, we might have a guy stationed on one of our tanks watching the water level with a radio that is talking to the guy in the pump control room to have him throttle that pump on and off to make sure we don't overflow a tank. So you don't see that much anymore with wastewater treatment plants.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
And I want to thank you for bringing that up. Very much appreciated that you recognize that our crews that are out there in the field probably right now dealing with stormwater and water and wastewater issues.
Well, I think a lot of people think of drop inlets as where water goes in, but half the inlets in this town are outlets. They're the bubbling end of where they're running it underground across intersections, and it's made to bubble out. So it's not a failure for that to happen. But some people, when they first see it happening, they figure, oh, the storm drain's backed up. No, it isn't. It's basically a bubbling system that you're running under the intersection. And I have noticed in a few places, and I'm venturing to guess 50% of these inlets are actually bubblers.
Yes.
So,
unfortunately, that was the way storm drain system was designed.
That's not a causation of blame. It's just merely that's the way the system has been designed. So,
Rob, I'm at Del Mar Park every morning with my animals, and they're doing a great job on that restroom over there. Perhaps we could get an update on how they're doing and what's going on. It looks like it's getting close to the end of it. And there was a comment the other day about they've got to do, put the wire up and do stucco on it and so on. So,
oh,
Shoot, the guy that knows unfortunately had to leave. I'm sorry about that. I know they are getting very close. We're getting ready to stucco one of our local plasterers, Pirate Plastering, we contracted with to do that stucco work. And that's an expertise that we don't have in-house. We can't quite do some of that work in-house. But it was a project that was a team effort with some a volunteer group out of Rock Harbor Church. And it really... we can't do that with every facility in town, but it turned out very well.
Yeah, they made a comment to me that we're saving roughly 25% of the cost of hiring somebody else to come out and do it for us. And that's appreciated.
To drop a prefabricated restroom on the site was $350,000 and will be probably in the neighborhood of $60,000 by the time we're done with that facility.
Yeah, so we need to give some kudos where they belong on that one.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, everyone. And with that, we will adjourn to the April 18th back at the Vets Building. Thank you.